Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Path Yorkshire's Pathcast series. It's easy to think that once people arrive in the UK, their journey to safety is over. However, regardless of how they arrive, people who come to the UK seeking safety face a number of issues here, which threaten their dignity, their safety, and in some cases, their lives. In this episode, we're going to be in conversation with a special guest who is going to tell us about their journey to safety and how they overcame the issues that they encountered along the way. We are being joined by James. We'd like to welcome you to our podcast. Thank you for taking time out. How are you doing?
I am okay. Thanks for having me, Anil. I am doing very well. Thank you very much.
That's good to hear. So, where did your journey begin? What made you decide that you needed to leave your country of nationality?
It would be nice if I start with a little bit of my background. I am a son of a farming family in a remote village from my country. Unlike my parents, I had the opportunity to study through primary school, secondary school, and then to a higher level in university. So I studied law back home from my country for 3 years, but I have not completed it for the reason that I had to leave my country for safety issues.
I can only imagine what it's like to be able to be facing something like that and having to make a big decision to actually leave your country of nationality. It must have been something really quite big, quite scary and fearful for you.
Yeah, it was. You know, when your life and human dignity are questioned and you don't decide what you want to do by yourself, for yourself, and other people are deciding your fate, that is the time that you decide you have to leave.
Hearing that, you know, somebody's deciding your fate and your destiny, I feel, just by hearing that, I'm feeling like suffocated myself. So having to live through that, you know, must have been a really difficult period for you.
It was, yes. But I've got a principle though. I normally use this one in my everyday life. If you don't like the place, if you don't like the environment and the situation, you have to move. You are not a tree. You can move on. Yeah. So that's the principle that I usually use in my everyday life.
What a wonderful principle. And I hope that some of our listeners are able to maybe adopt that principle that you've shared. If you're not happy with a situation, try something new, try moving on, try getting yourself out of that. It's really positive to hear your principle that you just mentioned there. Okay, you've made the decision that, you know, you will need to leave this place for your safety. Then what happened next? How did you go about planning your journey? How did you know what to do? What was my next step? Where am I going to go?
The decision you make are not very well planned because you don't know what happens. But if I remember the journey, it was really horrific. I remember I had to travel walking during nights and sometimes using cars provided by the smugglers from the country. I mean, from one country to another country, and crossing the borders without knowing what will happen. Every second or every minute that you are crossing a different place that you have never been before. So imagine the fear of what will happen to you, whether you will see your family again. That was really scary, yeah.
That sounds like a really difficult situation to be in because you don't know what tomorrow holds, where you're going, if you're going to be safe on your journey, if you'll ever see your family again. So how did you try and keep yourself positive in such a difficult situation where you're probably walking for days, you're traveling in cars, you don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 hours? How did you get yourself through all those difficult days?
I mean, once you start to walk out of the door of your house, there is no turning back. Because if you are outside the door of your house or outside the border of your country, you don't have to risk going back of the borders which are patrolled by the military. So once you make the first decision, you have to keep going and expect for the better. I mean, I don't know how to explain this, but you have made a decision. You have to keep going with the decision you have made and expect that something good is going to happen.
And when you reached the UK, how did you begin to build your life? What do you have to do? Because I can imagine there are lots of struggles. You have to apply for certain things. What happened when you reached the UK?
Yeah, when I reached the UK, at first I was in shock. I was in shock with the culture. I was in shock with the weather, with the food. I was literally struggling to cope. There was nobody that I know to speak with, and nobody that looks like me at first. You don't know nothing about the country that you are settling in. So I didn't know where to start. I didn't know where to go. Even I didn't know how to ask the way you ask for things that you are looking for. So, but I had one advantage though. I was able to speak English, and then that made the fact that I can communicate with people in English and understand what they are saying, and at least explain myself what I wanted to say, was an advantage for me when I arrived in the UK. I knew English because I studied my college and university in English. So that made it easier to communicate and settle my life in the UK.
That's one of the things here on the New Roots project we try to tackle, is the isolation, because refugees and people seeking asylum, they have the lack of access to English language lessons, and it leaves many people to integrate. And like you said, that you were one of the lucky ones who were able to interact, use the English language to convey, you know, your struggles. It helped you a lot. So taking some of the other struggles you mentioned, how did you try and tackle them? Did you go out and find support? Because if you're in a new place, you don't know about any of the services that are out there. You don't know where to go to help. How did that process begin with you?
Yeah, so the first few weeks when you arrive into the place that you have never been before, what I did personally was I had to start somewhere. But what is that place? What is that person or that I need to start with? So the first thing that comes into my mind was going to the library. So when I go to the library, ask the reception that how I can get services from the library. So I asked for a membership card. It was in 2014. There was a membership card that you need to get from the library, and then using the library membership card, you have access to 2 hours of using the computers. So I went to the library, asked for a membership, and I was given straight away. So I had to use the computers and the books available to make myself busy and search and research and ask a lot of questions in the internet. This were some of the tricks that I used to tackle some of the struggles that I had.
You know, going to the library, you meet people, you said you started speaking to people like the receptionist, and that may have given you confidence to use English. How did you start integrating into the society?
As I said, every day I was in the library, sitting there and watching how the people interact. As I said, I have to ask a lot of questions in the internet. Google, thanks to Google, like about the weather in the UK, about the culture, the do's and don'ts that you need to do in the UK. So.
So you had to figure out what was suitable and acceptable in the UK and what wasn't, because obviously you're from a different country. Different countries have their own cultures, and what might be right for one culture may not be so right in another culture.
If we are talking about the culture, the weather, the food, things like that, they are totally different. The fact that you have to learn the environment around you was quite challenging in the beginning, but you learn as a human being. You learn and try to cope and adjust yourself with the people around. You want to look like them. You have to be very quick learner then.
Talking about learning, when you left your country of nationality, you said you were in the middle of studying your law degree. Mm-hmm. And then when you arrived in the UK, you're attending the library to learn about you know, what life is like in the UK, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Were you also thinking about formal education and employment? Because I can imagine that if you've left during a university degree, education must have been in your thoughts and your horizon.
Yes, education was at the top of my priority. Although I wanted to work at the same time. You know, I have been through colleges and universities inside and outside my country when I was coming onto the UK through different countries. I also had the opportunity to join two universities there, but you still don't find them as interesting as you want to be. But they were all incomplete. I mean, so my plan was to at least have one graduate degree completed and feel that I have completed one step of my life. So I did that by the end of 2019 when I came to the UK. So education was the priority. Alongside with it, I was working part-time while studying. That was my priority.
And with your hard work and your determination, you were able to get your undergraduate degree. What challenges does a person seeking asylum or a refugee face when they are wanting to study a higher education course or a university degree? What was the process of applying for a degree like these?
It was difficult, even though you had some educational background. You still face problems on where to go and ask and how you have to do or how to explain yourself of your educational background to someone. So what I did was when I first came here to the UK in 2014, I immediately go to the college and ask them that I wanted to do my GCSE. They were not sure whether I was competent to do GCSE straight away, because they asked me when I came to the UK, and I told them it was only 3 months ago. And then they said they were not believing me that I can do GCSEs. And then I had to go and been sent back. Go back to the college again, explain that they can test me whether I am competent in English or not. And then after 3 or 4 times going to the college, they gave me a test, and then I have showed them that I am able to do my GCSEs. And then they apologized at first, because it was the same receptionist that I have seen 3 times that I was familiar. Because they remember they have sent me back, believing that I was not able to do that.
And that shows your determination, because you kept going back to almost prove to them that I can do this.
Yes.
And you showed the results.
Yeah. They gave me a test. I did score well in maths and English. That was the test they gave me. And within 3 months, I did my GCSE. I joined to do my GCSE and completed it within 1 year. And after that, I did my access to higher education. It took me 1 year. And then after I did my access to higher education, I applied for university. So to apply for university, there is a process that you need to create, which is called personal statement for UCAS. So I wish there was someone who could help me by that personal statement. It was quite difficult for me to explain myself in short words everything that I wanted to say. So I did it anyway and applied for 5 universities. 4 of them accepted me. I was on my second choice and I did my university in Coventry.
It's so inspiring to hear your story, James. And that's how the New Roots Project supports its clients. We help our clients with applications for colleges, for universities, for courses, helping them apply for jobs. After completing your undergraduate degree, you must have felt a real sense of achievement. From completing your degree to now having a job, how was that journey from graduating to finding employment?
Yeah, so I graduated in July 2019. As soon as I graduated, I was applying for different kinds of jobs. While I was applying and when I was in the process of interviews, coronavirus came and that had also an impact on my on the progress of my application and my interview schedules. I was keeping applying and have seen a lot of rejections with my application. So what I tried to do was that I tried to find out volunteering opportunities. So I volunteered with one charitable organization for about 9 or 10 months, and that has helped me a lot. I do have a job now, yes, and I like my job. I am working with an organization that supports refugees who have similar background as me. So I found this job while I was volunteering in the charitable organization that supports people seeking asylum and refugees.
James, thank you for sharing snippets of your journey. And it's such a pleasure to hear that it's been a positive one for you, that you were able to complete your undergraduate degree, you were able to find a job and get into employment. Do you have any advice or tips for anyone who may be in a similar situation to you and how they can make a better future for themselves?
Yes, I would give some little tips to the person who is or in the same position I was some years ago. So I would want to say this to the person. Settling in a new country is totally different of your upbringing. It is stressful at the beginning. Please do not worry at first. It's not easy, but it is simple as long as you know how to associate yourself with, who you want to make a friend with, as long as you respect the law of the country and use every opportunity available, you will, challenge the struggles. Please use opportunities when they arise. Once they are gone, they are gone. Educate yourself, train yourself, get the employability skills that are free of charge from your local charitable organizations. They are free if you are an asylum seeker or if you are a refugee, so use them. For example, come or ring to Paz Yorkshire, for example, Paz Yorkshire for employment support, or come or ring to RITAS for everything else. Go to the advice bureau if you have questions that needs to be answered. Go to the refugee council, use them, they are free. You will see a lot of friendly and wonderful advisors, and I hope you will not regret it. Yeah, other than that, I wish I knew there were charitable organizations. I am saying I could have been better. So reach out, also reach out to your local community. Do your part, do not sit at home and worry all days. Get out and ask the help that you're looking for.
And that was James with his inspiring story of his journey to safety, with some great advice and tips to follow if you're in a similar situation. If you'd like to discuss anything that James shared with us, the New Roots Project, or you'd like support with the employment process and finding a job, email us on info@pathyorkshire.co.uk, or you can give us a call on 07943 027 922. We'll be back next month with another Pathcast filled with lots of useful information to help you become the person you aspire to be. Thank you for listening.